just in a few days that we would look at August 21st and the solar eclipse. So, all right. Praise the Lord. Here we go. When we look at a solar eclipse, we're talking about a sign. God gave us signs. Amen. He said the sun, the moon, the stars were put there for signs. And when we look at the word sign, we might say to a Jewish person, mazel tov. How many of you guys have ever heard that term? Which is kind of like congratulations or good luck. It comes from the Masoreth, the mazel does, which is their version of the zodiac or the constellations, which is where we get the word sign. So when you see the word sign, it is a mazel, the Jewish word mazel, which means sign, coming from the Masoreth and the constellations. And so we see stars being signs. And so basically when you say mazel tov, you're saying sign good, or may you have a good sign from God, right? That's really where they get that literally from. 1 Corinthians 1:22 tells us, for the Jews require a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom. Now, when you say Greeks, we're really kind of all thrown in that match there. We're not Jews. The Gentiles, if you try to tell someone, you know, about the Bible or prophecy or God or Jesus, people want to debate you, don't they? How many of you guys say, well, blah, blah, you know, they're intellectual. So they're like the Greeks of Paul's day. They all think that they're intellectual and that they are going to debate with you on what you say. But the Jews aren't that way. The Jews, they want a sign. They want to see it in Scripture and in the sun and the moon or something hidden in Scripture. In fact, there's this Jewish rabbi that became a Christian all because of taking the value of the word God or Yahweh and the value of Miriam, which is the Old Testament equivalent of Mary. And when you add them together, it gives you the numeric value of Joshua, which is the name Jesus. And that was enough of a sign for him. That was enough of a sign for him. He said, and he became a Christian, became born again, because he's a Jew and he understands signs, and that was enough. Take Yahweh, add Mary to it, and you get Jesus. Isn't that cool? Yeah. And so this is the way the Jews think. They think in terms of signs. To the Jews, a constellation is a sign, and it's called a gematria, which is what I was talking about, adding values of words, is a sign. So you either got some sign in the heavens, or you got a sign hidden in Scripture with some numeric value, and that's good enough for a Jew, because they seek after signs. Rabbis say that we Gentiles like to read the Bible naked. And that just means not that we don't have clothes on, but that we just read it on the surface level. We just get the first interpretation of it. We don't go down. Anybody that has Jonathan Cahn's book, you know, newest book, knows what I'm talking about. These Jews, they go much deeper and they see things that we don't see, but we Gentiles just read the Bible naked or just the surface level. But Jews want to know what is in the subtext, the gematria. And so they read it much deeper. Amen? Okay, so the Jews are looking for signs. These are things in the sky or the gematria. And we are coming up on a sign in the sky, which is the total solar eclipse on August 21st, 2017. A couple of people to give credit to is Mark Biltz, who first discovered the blood moons of 2014, which fell on, you know, on Passover and Tabernacle. You know, they were not the same day on our calendar, but they were the same Jewish feast day on the Jewish calendar 2 years in a row. And I don't know what the odds on that would be, but I would say they would be pretty high, wouldn't you? So that's not a coincidence. In fact, the Jews will tell you that the word coincidence is not kosher, meaning there is no coincidence to a Jew with God. Nothing happens by accident. And Steve Cocolanti out of Australia, some of this information comes from him, so just give the credit where the credit's due. In Genesis 1:14, I mentioned this earlier, God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years." And so they are there for signs and seasons. Now, the word season there is the Jewish word modiums, which really is not season. We think of seasons as winter, spring, summer, fall. But this word seasons in its original text means holidays, and the Jewish holidays are really feast days, not Christmas and Thanksgiving, you know, football day where we eat turkey and fall asleep watching Dallas or whatever. But we're talking Jewish holidays, which are the seven major feast days as well as some of the minor feast days. And so God put signs in the heavens and these seasons or feast days as signs for what is going to happen in the future. Amen. And if you've been around here for a while, you know we look at the feast days. What is the next unfulfilled feast day that Jesus hasn't fulfilled of the seven major ones? Feast of Trumpets, right? He fulfilled the first three, right? Passover, resurrected on first fruits, poured out the Holy Spirit on Pentecost, or the Feast of Weeks. So if you go through the seven in order, the next one is the Feast of Trumpets, which is the unfulfilled, right? All right, so the total solar eclipse is only possible in our solar system from Earth. You know, the people that say, well, you know, it just so happens that we evolved on this planet. Okay, let's just say, even though I'm speaking as a fool, let's just say that they're right, okay? Well, what about the moon? The sun's diameter is 400 times larger than the moon, and the sun is 400 times farther away from the moon, so that these two celestial bodies, from our perspective on the Earth, look exactly the same size when the eclipse happens. Think about it. Even if life happened to happen here, did the moon just happen to be, from our perspective, the exact same size as the sun, even though the sun's 93 million miles away? The sun is 400 times larger than the moon, and it is 400 times farther away. That's not a coincidence. God planned that for the purpose of what we call an eclipse. Amen? No other planet in the solar system. This is a solar eclipse, or what we would call the sun turning black, you know. And, of course, this one is not a total one. I found this one because this one is probably about what the one that we will see here in Oklahoma will look like. There is a little sliver of the sun there at the bottom, as you can see. We're going to be at about a 90%. Bobby will be at 100% up in Kansas, right? And so this is what's coming August 21st. I mentioned this in Sunday school this morning, the letters of the alphabet, the Aleph and the Tav. The last letter of the Hebrew alphabet, Tav, has a value of 400. You know, when you look at end times, you have to sometimes connect the dots. Well, if a solar eclipse is a sign that we are near the end, and the 400 is the distance between, you know, the variation between the sun and the moon, what's the end of the alphabet? It has a value of 400. Now, again, we're like the Greeks. We don't want signs. We want evidence. We want something that we can debate. This is the Hebrew alphabet. The first letter, which has a value of 1, the Aleph, is called the ox. You can see two horns kind of in the symbol of the letter. The interesting thing about the Tav is that it changed. The Jews changed it. Why would the Jews change the shape of the letter Tav, the last letter? because in ancient days it didn't look like this. It looked like a cross. And after the church came around, they didn't like the fact that the Tav, the Omega, the Z, the end, had a cross in it, and so they changed it to this shape here. But again, it has a value of 400. And you can see this is where the Jews get their numeric system for the letters. You've got 1 through 10, and then you go 10, 20, 30, 40, all the way up to 100, and then you go 200, 300, 400, and that is the Jewish alphabet with its values and its symbols. The table of the Hebrew alphabet, they have the names, the symbols, the pictures, and the values. The first, the Aleph and the Tav, again, beginning, end, Alpha, Omega, A to Z. Picture of the symbol of the ox and the cross, as I said, later changed. And, of course, Jesus saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the Aleph and the Tav. He is saying, I am the ox, the strong one on the cross. Amen? Isn't that cool? Now, the solar eclipse obviously is a sign. Here's an interesting note. The temperature on the sun is 5,778 degrees Kelvin, which just happens to be the next Hebrew year, starting next month. Thought that was kind of interesting. You can't make this stuff up. I mean, you can't make it up. It's just amazing. Jesus, to the wicked Jews, he said, you know, you're looking for a sign, because the Jews look for a sign, and the only sign, you know, and in fact he said, a wicked and adulterous generation look for a sign. And if you try to talk to anyone about the Lord's coming or whatever, you know, they want, show me the money. Well, you know, and he said the only sign that you're going to see is the sign of Jonah. Now, I don't know about you, but historically I saw that as Jesus pointing himself to the symbol of Jonah's death, burial, and resurrection. You know, there are some commentators that claim Jonah didn't die. I disagree with that. He went down to the bottom, the depth of the earth. It indicates he died, and there's no way, even inside the belly of a whale, you could withstand that kind of pressure. Your eyes would be popping out of your head. But I believe he died for 3 days, and then he was resurrected and spit out on the ground, and I believe it's a type of the death, burial, and resurrection. And I always just assumed that was the sign. I assumed. However, when Jonah preached to Nineveh, the sign of Jonah was an eclipse passing almost directly over the city. Bersagel eclipse, one of the most famous solar eclipses in ancient history, was recorded on a Syrian tablet. And here it is on June 15th, 763, during the reign of King Ashurdan III, and it was one of the omens which led to Nineveh repenting. You say, well, why did Jesus tell the Jews they're going to have that sign? Because what happened to him on the cross? You see, he said, you want a sign, you're going to get the sign of Jonah. He was talking about an eclipse. He was talking about the sky turning dark, and then he's on the cross, and the sky turns dark. That's the sign he was talking about. And so ancient Mosul down here at the bottom is ancient Nineveh. So just to the north of them, just days before he went in and preached, they had this ominous sign of the sun turning dark. And so the history of it of this is they had major plagues in 765. They had the solar eclipse in 763. More major plagues in 759. Several military losses, major earthquakes, major revolts. And then Jonah goes walking through and saying, you better repent or God's going to destroy you. And they were ready for a message like that. And so, you know, we all think, well, wouldn't it be nice if I could have that kind of results I could just go through. And, of course, Jonah, I'm getting ahead of myself here, Jonah didn't even care whether they repented or not, so I don't think he was really bold in his approach. By the way, you guys better repent or God's going to destroy you. Not that I really care. And, you know, and if we went through and said, hey, you know, Jesus is coming, you better get saved, not that I really care. If everybody just fell to their knees, oh, my God, thank you, I need Jesus, you know, we would say, man, I'm a good preacher. But Jonah had a little help from God with this eclipse, and it prepared the people. Amen. All right. So the question is, what sign is August 21st pointing to? If we look at what happened to ancient Nineveh, there was civil unrest, there was plagues, there was military losses, there was earthquakes, and one must ask themselves, could this be pointing to some of the same things that America may be facing? We don't know. Here's an interesting note that on the same day in 1914, a total solar eclipse crossed Eastern Europe. It was dubbed as the World War I eclipse that prepared Europe for World War I. The same day, August 21st, 1914. This is the path that it took. Total solar eclipse crossed Eastern Europe, dubbed World War I eclipse. World War I started 2 months prior with the assassination of Archduke Ferdinand on the 28th of June. And, of course, it continued to build up until what we know to be World War I. World War I was a gruesome war. They didn't fight it with some of the more sophisticated weapons that World War II had, and certainly nothing like we had. Much of it was bayonets and hand-to-hand combat. Kind of scary when you think about it. The U.S. eclipse is starting on the West Coast. It hits the West Coast at 7:16 Jerusalem time, which is the exact time that the sun sets in Jerusalem on the same day, which means that Jerusalem will start getting dark the same exact time that America starts getting dark. It's kind of interesting, isn't it? We're familiar with the last month, Elul. Anybody that's been around a while, we've looked at, you know, the Harbinger and Elul 29 and so on. Elul is called the month of harvest. It means to gather, to reap, to catch away, to remove. And it is the last month of the year 5777. And, of course, it begins on the solar eclipse. It is completion. And, of course, many Jewish prophets or scholars have pointed to the Messiah coming in the year 577 or 2017. And so we're going to be entering the last month of that, Elul 2017, the last month in the Hebrew year, the Gematria 5777. Is the year of completion. And Rabbi Judah ben Samuel's prophecy said the Messiah would come in 2017. Rabbi ben Howard's prophecy, the Jewish year of 5777. And so if the Messiah is coming in this year, then the eclipse will mark the beginning of the last month of that year. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, we know that prophecy it follows patterns. The total solar eclipse there was a total solar eclipse in 1918 that crossed the U.S. And after it came, there was a pandemic of death that brought 675,000 deaths in the United States and somewhere between 50 and 100 million deaths worldwide from this pandemic that began after a total solar eclipse in the United States in 1918. That was the last one, by the way, just 99 years ago. This is interesting. If you take the path of this month's solar eclipse and you lay it across the USGS's map, you notice that it goes right through the red points of the earthquake hazard zones, the highest point. You can see the New Madrid. You can see Yellowstone. And if you just, I mean, all you'd have to do is just take the top red points and draw a line, and it would be exactly on the same line that the eclipse is drawing across the United States. What does that mean? I don't know. I think it means it's a sign. We'll see what happens, huh? Praise the Lord. French historian Alex de, help me out here. I don't know how to say that. Yeah. He traveled the United States in 1831, and he wrote his book called Democracy in America in 1835. And he said that America is great because America is good. I think that's a cool statement. He traveled to various cities, and within each city he would go into churches. And about that time in the history of the United States, there was some great, great men of God preaching fiery, passionate messages out of the pulpits. And when he said America's great because America's good, he was basing that on the caliber of people he met, mostly in churches. People with a passion for God, people with a great reverence and fear of God, people who love their fellow man and who serve their fellow man. There was a moral compass in America in 1835 that America has lost, I feel. And when you see the headlines with the division in our country just this weekend, we have to ask ourselves about his next statement. When America ceases to be good, America will cease to be great. And how many of you guys remember Kate Smith? Does anybody know who Kate Smith was? What was that great song she sang? God Bless America. Remember that? Every time her show would go off, I remember on the black and white television as a kid watching Kate Smith sing God Bless America. Do you realize that would not even be politically correct in America anymore? For Kate Smith to sing God Bless America? I know that we don't like messages of doom and gloom or messages that point to, but we have to be honest. We have to be real, don't we? We have to look at where we're at on the prophetic calendar. Now, with that being said, I think that's my last slide, yeah. With that being said, the question is, let me just go back here because I want to really take a little time with this. With that being said, the Bible says that as a Christian, as a church, that we're not appointed unto wrath. Amen? Now, that does not mean that we will not have trials and tribulations. And as Eddie pointed out in our reading in Hebrews 12, that what kind of father would we have if he didn't give us a whooping every once in a while? And sometimes we need chastising so that we are walking the walk and not just talking the talk. Amen. But Elul is the month of harvest. And we know that August 21st is a countdown to September 21st, which is the Feast of Trumpets, which is the next chronological Jewish feast day that has not been fulfilled. We also know that according to the great sign of September 23rd, if it is indeed a reflection of Revelation 12, that it will also be the point where Satan is cast out of heaven on the 23rd. So with the great sign of the solar eclipse on August 21st and a countdown to September 21st, the Feast of Trumpets, this should not be a time for us to be fearful. It should be a time for us to begin to take inventory, to begin to examine things in our life. If there's things we need to get rid of, to get rid of. Begin to press in, to begin to pray more. Begin to share more with people around us, because the Lord could be coming very soon for the church. I don't know if the Lord would leave the church here if Revelation 12 really is being fulfilled in September 23rd, if Satan is really going to be cast out of heaven. I don't know if the Lord would leave the church here or not. I can see the Lord might leave us here for a period of time to be the voice. So I'm not saying the rapture is going to happen on the 21st. Before that happens, we may be here through the midpoint. I don't know. I do know this. Elul is harvest, and we need to be ready to reap the harvest. Amen. We need to be ready to put the trumpet to our mouth to let everyone know that we are living in the Bible days that the Bible spoke about. We're about to see, I love the way Chuck Missler phrases it, a period of time that the Bible speaks more about than any other time in human history. Think about it. And we are living in it, church, right now. And I, for one, I want to be ready. You know what I did this week? I'm just going to talk for a minute because this was pretty short. I have a lot of Bibles, you know. I got Bibles. I could fill a room with Bibles. I got every kind of Bible you can get, right? I don't read them anymore. Now, let me qualify that. I do read the Bible. The print has gotten so much smaller over the years. And so I have this tablet here that has a Bible app. And the Bible app that I use, for about $7.99, I can go out and download another version, another translation. And I can make the fonts much bigger in this thing. So this week, the first Bible I had as a new Christian back in 1979 was one of those old green Living Bibles. It's a horrible Bible for scholarly study. It's a wonderful Bible for understanding the nuance of the text in a language so simple a 4-year-old could understand it. And so I went out and I paid the $7.99 and I downloaded me the Living Bible text into my tablet. And I began to read, and there are things phrased in there. You know, if you've been around church for a while and you've read it in King James your whole life, sometimes we get so locked into the phrase, we miss the nuance of what it means. And it's okay to read these paraphrases. It's not even a translation, it's a paraphrase. You know, a translation is where they translate word for word in a different structure. A paraphrase is just totally let someone just say it how they see it. And so, you know, the big Bible scholars just slam it. And there are some serious issues with some, particularly Zechariah has some really bad paraphrases. But it's time to get back to the Bible. It's time to sit at the feet of Jesus. It's time, as I was praying Tuesday, the Lord reminded me of the words of Jesus in the book of Revelation, that if you're getting lukewarm, go back and do the first things that you did. And that's why I did that. I said, I want to go back and begin to read the word in the old Living Bible. I want to get closer to Jesus over the next month. Whether the Lord's coming or not, isn't it time? Isn't it time to rearrange priorities? Isn't it time to get back to the Bible? Isn't it time to start walking a little bit closer with the Lord? Isn't it time to get rid of lukewarmness? Isn't it time to set your priorities, keep the main thing the main thing? Amen. Come on up, Nola. And let's just let this sign be more than a sign. Amen. It's one thing to see a sign and say, hey, did you see the sign? It's another thing. You know, what if we see a stop sign, but we don't stop? What would happen? Well, the minimum you might get a ticket, the worst you might die. And so we don't want to be guilty of seeing the sign and not heeding the sign. Amen? We don't want to be guilty of saying, look, there's a sign, and not letting it move our foot from the gas to the brake. Not letting it move us from our legs to our knees. Not letting us move us from the TV to the Bible. Let's heed the sign, shall we? Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for the members of Faith Fellowship Church, my family, and my love. Thank you, Lord, that though we are small, you brought every one of them here. And I am so grateful, Lord, for each one of them. As we see these Bible things being fulfilled before our eyes, help us, Lord, not to just have a head knowledge, but let it move us, Lord. Let the sign move us to a deeper walk, a more passionate relationship, where the Lord, you're just real to us in a supernatural way, that we feel our hearts burn within us as we read your word, as we seek your face. Help us to be ready, Lord, and watching. We know you're coming soon. We give you the praise. We give you the glory. We give you the honor. For Jesus, you and you alone are worthy. And we thank you for the price you paid to bestow upon us this amazing grace. In your name we pray. Amen.
Oh, let the Son of God enfold you in His Spirit and His love.
Thank you, Lord.
Let Him fill your life and satisfy your soul. Oh, let Him have the things that hold you and the Spirit like a dove will descend upon your life and make you whole. Jesus, oh Jesus, come.
Bless you. Thank you for coming. Give someone a big hug before you go.